Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, May 4th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Governor Otter releases wording of his proposed child support enforcement bill to be brought up in the special session May 18th. A Vista software coding error caused utility to request too much revenue in February for Washington State, and Coeur d'Alene environmental attorney Scott Reed dies. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Avista says it overestimated future power costs by $7.1 million in Washington due to a computer coding error and is therefore reducing the rate increase they were seeking from the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission. The company will now seek a $17 million increase in revenue rather than a $33.2 million increase. The Spokesman Review website reports Avista officials caught the error about a month ago and contacted the Utilities and Transportation Commission. The Spokane-based utility had asked for the $33.2 million increase in February. Avista spokesperson Casey Fielder said the company will also lower its requested rate increase due to another change since February. That is a new five-year contract with the Chelan County Public Utilities District for electricity, which Avista characterizes as favorable. The company will also ask for a smaller increase in natural gas revenue, which will be $11.3 million rather than the $12 million expected in February. Various parties are working on a partial settlement of Avista's rate request case. The Utilities and Transportation Commission, the Washington Attorney General's Office working on behalf of residential customers, the Northwest Industrial Gas Users, and industrial customers of Northwest Utilities will have to come up with new rates in the coming 2 months. Fielder also said the parties must work out how Avista will be reimbursed for $375 million in equipment upgrades later this year in the eastern part of the state. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter has posted his proposed child support enforcement bill on his website and is encouraging every parent and family who relies on court-ordered child support payments to review it. Lawmakers will be back in Boise Monday, May 18th for a special session to deal with the single issue. The governor announced the special session last week in reaction to an April 10th vote by the House Judiciary and Rules Committee to kill Senate Bill 1067, which would have set rules for child support enforcement. The bill had passed unanimously in the Senate, but those who voted against it in the House committee said Idaho child support cases may have to comply with decisions made under Muslim Sharia religious law because the U.S. child support enforcement standards comply with an international treaty called the 2007 Hague Convention on International Recovery of Child Support and Family Maintenance. Since the 9-8 vote by the committee on the last full day of the legislative session, fears that Idaho would be subjecting itself to foreign law and that Idahoans' rights to due process would be subverted by international law have been largely debunked by a state attorney general's office opinion. There were also concerns about Idaho's child support database being accessible by foreign governments. Otter said in a statement released today, "I want every member of the legislature to have a better understanding of what it does and what it does not do, and a fuller appreciation of what happens if we fail to act affirmatively. The more everyone knows, not thinks, but knows about this measure, the better chance we have for success." An Idaho Public Television analysis of Otter's new bill compared to the Senate bill that failed in April finds most of the language is identical, but there are some amendments added. According to Idaho Public Television, one amendment says no Idaho court or agency shall recognize an order issued by another country that's incompatible with Idaho code. The Attorney General's Office opinion said that's already the case. Another amendment directs the Department of Health and Welfare to develop a process to authenticate data requests made as a result of the 2007 Hague Treaty. The section also says the state shall not provide the address of a person who has a protective or no contact order in place. The bill also contains a new section requiring the governor or someone designated by the governor to monitor child support enforcement proceedings affecting Idaho residents and report to the legislature. Governor Otter's press release says Otter worked with lawmakers who opposed the initial bill when writing a new one. The press release says the proposed legislation would achieve the same goals with much of the same language as Senate Bill 1067, but health and welfare experts House Speaker Scott Bedke, Senate President Pro Tem Brent Hill, and Senate Majority Leader Bart Davis, the governor's office, and some of the lawmakers who opposed its passage last month, including Representatives Lynn Luker and Tom Daley, worked together to fine-tune some subtleties and reach agreement on the language in recent days. Those changes have been approved by U.S. Department of Health and Human Services officials responsible for monitoring state compliance with federal child support laws and regulations. Crusading Coeur d'Alene attorney Scott Reed has died at the age of 87. Reed spent most of six decades taking up progressive causes, most prominently arguing environmental cases. He retired last year. Reed's son, Bruce Reed, has served as an advisor to President Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, including 8 years as domestic policy advisor under Clinton. He was also chief of staff for Vice President Joe Biden. Bruce Reed told the Spokesman Review, "Our home was always a campaign headquarters for something. Environment, mental health, public schools. Our basement was like an underground railroad for progressive leaders from around the West. It's still a bit that way." Reed's wife, former Democratic State Senator Mary Lou Reed, said of her husband, "He made me laugh all my life. It was always fun to be with Scott. I will miss the laughter." Both Reed and his wife were inducted into the Idaho Hall of Fame last year, and Reed received the Distinguished Lawyer Award from the Idaho Bar Association in 2012. Reed helped found the Kootenai Environmental Alliance, the oldest environmental nonprofit in the state. He was known in Coeur d'Alene for his fight to save Tubbs Hill from development. He also successfully litigated against the federal government's plan to route Interstate 90 through downtown Wallace. The highway, as built, now skirts the side of the city. The Washington Department of Ecology has canceled permits to spray a neurotoxic chemical on shellfish beds at the request of the Willapa Bay Grays Harbor Oyster Owners Association. The cancellation came after criticism of the spray plan came from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and local residents. Opposition centered around unintended impacts on other maritime species from the spraying. The oyster growers want to control burrowing shrimp, who make oyster beds too soft for oysters, which causes them to suffocate. Police in Seattle arrested several people as they tried to control May Day protesters with bike blockades Friday. Police say two officers were taken to Harborview Medical Center with serious injuries when some members of a crowd began throwing rocks and wrenches at police. Police called the events on Capitol Hill Friday evening a riot. The website The Inquisitor published video of police setting up the bike blockade, which they said was evidence Seattle police may have instigated the riot when they threw themselves and their bikes into a peaceful protest's marching line. The video, apparently taken from a window high above the intersection of Broadway and Howell Streets, shows an officer giving go-ahead signals and police moving in with their bikes. Police opened up with pepper spray and pepper balls on the crowds in the street. Republican U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming is leading a campaign asking Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Director Dan Ash to take wolves off the endangered species list nationwide. During the last year, federal courts have responded to lawsuits by environmental groups and put wolves back on the endangered species list in Wyoming, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. In Wyoming's case, U.S. District Judge Amy Berman of Washington, D.C. agreed with arguments from environmental groups who said Wyoming's wolf management plan violated the Endangered Species Act. Wyoming had declared wolves can be shot on sight in most parts of the state. Lummis and 30 other members of Congress sent letters to Jewell and Ash last week calling for the ending of Wolf Endangered Species Act protections. The letter says, since wolves were first provided protections under the ESA, uncontrolled and unmanaged growth of wolf populations has resulted in devastating impacts on hunting and ranching, as well as tragic losses to historically healthy livestock and wildlife populations. A separate letter to Jewell, signed by 70 members of Congress last month, criticizes the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for its emphasis on removing wolves from federal Endangered Species Act protections. The letter, spearheaded by Democratic U.S. Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona, says the effort ignores science, threatens the viability of the Endangered Species Act, and may hurt the Fish and Wildlife Service's credibility. There is a bill sponsored by Lummis and others in Congress that would reverse the court decisions reinstating Endangered Species Act protections in the four states. There are also legal appeals in three of the states, Wyoming, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Potato farmers in eastern Idaho have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Idaho State Department of Agriculture in an attempt to stop mandatory field testing and a quarantine for pale cyst nematodes. The USDA is regulating 7,400 acres of potato fields in southern Bonneville County and northern Bingham County because they found 2,900 acres in the area infested with the nematode. The growers say the USDA failed to do an environmental impact statement and other studies before imposing the rules. They also say the Idaho State Department of Agriculture violated state law when they made capricious decisions surrounding the pale cyst nematode infestation. The infestation has caused some nations to ban the import of Idaho potatoes. The pest does not harm humans but can reduce yields in fields by up to 80%. The lawsuit says farmers' use of methyl bromide to kill the nematodes has killed and sickened livestock in the area. Chemicals like methyl bromide also kill beneficial organisms in the soil. Researchers are trying to develop other ways to get rid of the pests, including using chemicals to trick eggs into hatching when there's no food available, a nematode-eating fungi, or creating GMO potatoes that fight off the nematodes. The Moscow City Council will hold a public hearing tonight on a proposed ordinance defining and setting policies for temporary uses of parts of parking lots or vacant parcels of land. Most of the temporary uses seen in the city are temporary sales displays. The ordinance as drafted would impact the central business, motor business, general business, industrial, and urban mixed commercial zones. The rules are written to ensure compliance with street vision triangles, setbacks, duration, nuisances, site access, and site circulation. The council will also be asked to approve a request from Boosers Coffee House for a beer and wine garden during a Friday, May 15th street closure for a concert. The street closure on South Main Street will be from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The event would be the first time the city has granted a beer garden permit in a street right-of-way. The council will also be asked to follow the Public Works Committee recommendation last week to reject all bids for the construction of 3 concrete tennis courts at Gormley Park. The low $177,000 bid came from Tennis and Track Company of Salt Lake City. The company would have built fencing, gates, surface coating, netting, and line striping. Committee members felt the bid, which came in above official estimates, was too high. The council will also be asked to review a request by Councilmember Wayne Krause for the city to pay for 2 $2,500 scholarships for the Palouse Knowledge Corridor's 5-day Be the Entrepreneur Boot Camp scheduled for June. The scholarships would be funded from the city's non-prioritized projects budget, which has a current balance of $7,156. The council will also be asked to raise the mayor's and council members' salaries by 3.1% based on federal cost of living adjustments over the last 2 years. The mayor's salary would go from $1,890 per month to $1,949 per month. City council members' salaries would go from $625 per month to $675 per month. The new salaries would take effect in January of next year. The council will also be asked to increase the number of green downtown parking permits from 130 to 150 and decrease the annual fee permit from $85 to $75. Increase the quarterly fee from $30 to $35 and increase the monthly permit fee from $12 to $13. The Moscow City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Isolated showers after midnight, 20% chance of precipitation, otherwise partly cloudy, low 41. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 59. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, low 35. A 30% chance of showers, mainly after noon on Wednesday. Partly sunny, high 57. 20% chance of showers before midnight Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 37, and a 20% chance of showers mainly after noon on Thursday, mostly cloudy, high 63. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, we have fair skies and a temperature of 72 degrees. I'm Lee Robartis. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, Climate Justice Forum, which will include a recording of all or part of University of Idaho chemistry professor Tom Bitterwolf's recent talk to the Palouse Environmental Sustainability Coalition on climate change and its social impacts around the globe. And at 10 o'clock, Moscow Live, which will include an interview with somebody from the group Don't Shoot Spokane and others from up in Spokane. Interesting programming tonight here on KRFP Moscow Pullman. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the public affairs shows and recordings of local events, and the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Also, thanks to those who bought heroes at the KRFP Hero booth. Also sold spanakopita and lemonade at the Moscow Renaissance Fair Saturday and Sunday. And all those who put in all the shifts at the booth as well to help KRFP raise money for continued operations this weekend. Thank you all. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial. Eat the airwaves next.